Well, hello. You are listening to Good Girl to Goddess. This is a show where you're going to see your patterns, own your power, and claim your potential. We're living in epic times for women, but it's up to us to create our own evolution revolution from the inside out. I'm Joy Balma, and I'm going to be your host on this adventure and your Good Girl to Goddess Sherpa. I'm a coach and author of women's empowerment books and personality typing. So are you ready to go from good girl to goddess? Let's do this.
We've got a super hot topic today. It's all about leaving the cult of self-sacrifice. I can't wait to talk about this. You know, this podcast is all about helping you own your power, step into your potential. It's about mindset, mastery. But we have to look at our patterns. And today I'm super excited because I'm going to introduce you to, her name is Kelly Ray. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here. We haven't done this for a while, so this is exciting. I am open and excited about this conversation because it hits home in so many ways. And
well, you know, I wanted to just mention that when I first met you, gosh, I think it maybe at least 5 years ago, you were sort of like really stuck in your a good girl trying to be what everyone wanted you to be and just trying to put up this image of exactly, like, you know, just a little 50s housewife there. You were just trying to, like, do what everyone else was doing as a coach. And tell me a little bit about that because it's just a really interesting story.
It's so funny. It's like when you even talk about that time of my life, it's like this, it incurs these kind of these visuals go along with it, like looking at yourself from the 80s or something in your crazy hair and wild outfits. And it's like, oh God, what was I thinking? You know, that kind of thing comes to my mind because when you're in that and when you're living your life in a certain way or you're doing your business in a certain way, you don't realize that you're stuck. You know, you don't look around. It's like the horse with the blinders. And I wasn't aware of how I was presenting myself. I wasn't aware that my authentic self really hadn't come out yet. So I had put myself in this box of being this nurturing, perfect life coach who had everything together and couldn't possibly make any mistakes or have anything stress or, you know, arguments or anger or, you know, ugliness in my life and be a light to somebody else. And it was so far from the truth, but I was stuck there. I didn't know how to really get out. Because I didn't know what I was looking at. You know, when I met you, you showed a mirror, you know, put a mirror in front of me and showed me that there was something greater there. There was something different there that I just was missing it. So I was was able to just bring, you know, begin to bring out my truth, my authentic self, that, you know, Kelly Ray the badass, Kelly Ray the one who cusses all the time and does speak her mind and does tell somebody that, hey, there's a better way to do this and be pretty firm about that. We called it the emancipation of Kelly Ray. I mean, that was my new brand. That was my launch. And
you really were. You were cracking out of the good girl code there.
I have had to realize that even when I had that huge enlightening awakening moment in my business and my own personal self-love and everything that I represented to that point, I've had to constantly battle the default of trying to go back to that and trying to put myself back in that box. The tendencies that you have, you can do that so easily. So like I said, this message to me right now is really hitting home because, you know, I've had moments even as of recently where I have really had to deal with some of this going back to the place where I'm sacrificing myself for the sake of a relationship or other people, making them happy, making them not sad, you know, whatever the case. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, kind of gives the listeners a little bit of background on, you know, our story and, you know,
because
where
you discovered you were a muse and a, you were a, excellence girl and a muse. That's
Excellence girl. Yeah.
Right. But it was
what
the muse.
That
was, right. Well, it was the muse that was really the part of you that was completely trapped. And boy, when we unleashed that, it was just, I mean, pretty incredible. But I want to get to our topic today.
Absolutely.
But we're talking about a little bit about this in the show today because we're talking about leaving the cult of self-sacrifice. And, you know, that is in the Good Girl Rule Book. You know, you put the needs of others above your own. And, you know, part of this is completely natural and healthy. And I always say in the show, you know, I do not have any intention of trashing being a good person or being a nurturing person. It's just that can get out of balance, and we want to be there for people in our lives. We want to care for people. We don't want to, you know, but we don't want to lose ourselves in that process. So we're talking about that really fine line that, you know, is easy for the good girl to fall into and then disappear. And so we're talking about that point when you might realize that you've lost yourself in your life.
Mm.
And it's a time to consider that maybe you've joined the cult of self-sacrifice, which is so much a part of the good girl club, which is that you're rewarded for giving yourself up. And so we're going to talk about this today and kind of break down some of the myths of this cult of self-sacrifice and how we get drawn in and drink the Kool-Aid. And so what comes to mind for you first, Kelly?
When I was, you know, making some notes about the topic, I was thinking, can't possibly relate to this self-sacrificial state of being without thinking about, you know, where did it start? You know, how did I learn to be like this? I have a large family. I mean, I have raised 6 children. 5 of them are adults, and I have one who is still, you know, young and under my, you know, pretty much constant care. But, you know, raising kids, it's easy, especially multiple children, you know, having lots of children, a large family. It's easy to martyr yourself as a parent because your kids need you. I mean, they really do need you physically, emotionally, everything. They need parents. They need guidance. So in that aspect, it's so easy to get, you know, where you don't think that, you know, you have time or energy or even value in spending, you know, on yourself. So, and then that led me to another part, another little interesting twist that for me, I became a mom when I was 18 years old. So I was very young. I was barely just out of my own teen life and childhood myself. So I, you know, in thinking about this, I had like the double whammy, double dose of the cult Kool-Aid, you know, because I had a skewed idea going into being a mom of what being a good mom meant, because I grew up in an alcoholic family. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad left when I was 4. There was a lot of turbulence in my childhood. It wasn't a horrible childhood. I wasn't abused. Don't get me wrong. I love my mom. I love my dad. But there was a lot of things missing from my childhood, a lot of natural emotional support and cues and things that I really didn't know how to be that quote-unquote good mom. You know, those kinds of things that everybody may take for granted, I didn't have those things all the time because my mom was in her state of her turmoil, in her drunkenness or whatever. So when I became a mom, a stay-at-home mom for many years, I wanted my children to have those things that I didn't have. So I did everything I could to be that good girl, to be that good mom, that good wife, that 50s, whatever you gave that visual.
June
like
Cleaver,
that.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I was trying to think of her name, but I couldn't. So, and I honestly felt my value and my identity came from that, from being a good mom. And that was how, you know, I thought, you know, be the world's greatest mom, and that makes you valuable. That somehow makes you special. You know, that left little time for me to explore or even understand the fact that I was already valuable and special, regardless of whether I had children or anything. I didn't know that then. So that was really the catalyst for how all of this started with me. The self-sacrifice came, you know, very early.
And what that reminds me of is that you can't accept any flaws in that image of the June Cleaver. You know, the perfectionism comes in there. Like, you've got to be perfect then.
We all have our innate personality traits, but then you have to wonder, is some of that also like a programming, you know, like a cult programming, like, you know, things that could possibly have been much different had my life been different, had your life been different, you know, any of us. If things had been different, if we were raised differently or had different choices in different situations.
Oh, yeah, I think
how much of, how would my muse have come out more at that time had I not had to take care of myself as if I were a parent when I was younger, would I have been more of a muse and not the excellence girl? Does that make sense?
I just want to interject right now. People are curious about their type or what we're talking about. This is from my first book, which is called Rock Your Feminine Type to Rock Your Business. It has a questionnaire in there. It's really fun to figure out your type, and the book is like a workbook. It's a really great way to get a handle on your unique expression of personality in your life. So anyway, I just didn't want people to be kind of left hanging with what we were talking about. So how we've gotten into this cult, you've given us some clues about this, Kelly, how we decide that this is where our value comes from, or however we got there. We all have a different path, right? But somehow, if you found you've landed in this place where you've drank the good girl Kool-Aid, where you feel like, I've got to be perfect, and this is where I'm getting my value, and, you know.
I think that it's been a process of many years. I mean, you know, me meeting you and learning so much about myself through personality typing and, you know, some of the other things were obviously steps that were huge for me. But, you know, I realized that, you know, to get out of that, I had to face my fear. I realized that all of this is fear-based. You know, all of this stuff that we do in trying to create, keep the peace, or, you know, keep the balance in other people's lives, and giving all of ourselves to them and giving away our power, it really is fear-based. And if you can always bring it back to that by asking yourself questions, what's the worst thing that could happen if I said no? Things like that. What are you afraid of is going to happen if you say no? What are you afraid of if you say yes? What things in yourself do you not want to look at?
Right. So, Good Girl Club, it's like your yes and no gets completely mixed up in a tumbler. You know, you're saying no to things that you want to say yes to. You're saying yes to things that you want to say no to. I mean, like, literally, you're, like, completely confused about your own desires, your own wishes, your own needs. You know, it's just because we go over the board with, you know, service is fabulous, but how far do we go into sacrifice? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, how far are we going? So tell me, Kelly, what point, I know you were telling me you found yourself in this place where you were going to a whole new level of realizing that you were like, there's some deep sacrifice that was just happening that you had not realized you were falling into that crevasse, you know, of you had fallen in and you didn't realize. It's like, oh my God.
But what I realized recently was that, you know, that the sacrifice goes so much deeper. You know, it's one that steals self love and the ability to see ourselves as a whole, lovable, important person on the planet.
So you're loving others so much, but you're not loving yourself somehow. Somehow the feedback loop got broken.
Right, because, you know, like you said, when your yes is, you know, yes comes out of your mouth, but no is in your heart, because maybe there's something else that you would have wanted to do, you know, for yourself for a long time. Maybe you don't want to take the kids to the park. Maybe you want to sit and practice your guitar. You know, you want to do something else for you, but you say yes because you don't want to hurt someone else's feelings and you don't want them to feel bad. But the trap that we get into with that is that we somehow think that we're responsible for everybody else's happiness and for their reactions and for their success, for everything. They're everything. And the sacrifice for me at times has become so deep that I have literally been terrified to look at myself in the mirror. You know, not in the physical mirror, but in a you know, metaphorical mirror, look at myself and what I've become, or what I have denied myself, or denied the world, for that matter. Because if we are constantly sacrificing ourselves in the inside, then are we going to have the ability and the energy and the confidence to even try something like this, to even write that book? Record that podcast. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like that the depth of the destruction is so profound to ourselves, but it's also, it's like a ripple. you know, it's destructive to the entire everything, you know, to the world and everybody that we meet. So
the good girl, when she becomes disempowered, it's like there's like a perimeter. And she doesn't even know what there is anything beyond the perimeter. It's like, and the thing is that anything beyond the perimeter doesn't meet with the good girl rules, and so she stays within the perimeter. And so, but what you're saying is, it's like you know that outside of that perimeter, there is this Kelly Ray that has things to do that don't involve taking care of the needs of others in the smaller setting.
In that sense, right?
In that smaller setting.
And this is where, you know, it could get confusing for, you know, some people thinking that, well, you know, aren't you just, you know, still serving and giving of yourself by, you know, by writing books and, you know, teaching and coaching and doing all those things. And yes, that's true. But there's a difference between, in, you know, serving in that way and, you know, contributing to the collective existence of humanity and sacrificing yourself to something that isn't the truth. You know, when we're serving or sacrificing ourselves for the happiness of someone else and we're dissing ourselves, that ultimately is not serving anybody. You know, so it's like this, it's this horrible trap.
Well, it's self-expression. And it's like you're not able to like fully unfold all levels
right.
and layers of your being. It's like there's only this one small corner that is being expressed. You know, it's like we have many different parts. We have the nurturer. We have the good girl. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we also have the, you know, the kick-ass coach. We also have the incredible writer, you know, that can touch people with their words. We have other dimensions. And I think that, you know, when I look at my mother or, you know, friends' mothers or what, I mean, they were certainly caught in the June Cleaver. We have the opportunity to escape the good girl box. But I noticed that a lot of women, and including myself, are still stuck in those patterns that are so ingrained. And even though we have so much more freedom and so much more opportunity than our mothers did, you know, we are still struggling with leaving the cult of self-sacrifice, as if that's the only way that a woman can feel fulfilled.
Right.
Is by self-sacrifice. Can I get an amen?
You know, amen.
Amen.
This isn't just for women who are wives and moms and, you know, in a domestic setting like that. Being the sacrificial good girl happens on many levels in many areas of your life. It can happen in your job, you know, working corporate America, working in your own business, doing anything. It can happen with your friends, with your, you know, your romantic partner, with anybody in your life, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, anybody. It's like this pattern of needing to be seen a certain way. Hey, see yourself. Deep down, you want to be the one who is nurtured, fed, clothed, taught, held, loved, fulfilled.
Expressed,
you know what I'm saying?
Fully expressed.
Yes.
You know, so let's just tell the audience just for a minute here, like, let's just give them a pause of, and to say, take a breath, and to say this to yourself, my joy matters. And just meditate on that. My joy matters. This is something we should never sacrifice, is our joy. In other words, so there's just a loss of self that we're trying to give you permission to address, that it doesn't lead to you being happy, whole, and fulfilled, or even successful in your business. We have to keep boundaries with our giving. So service doesn't turn into sacrifice. We need to know where that line is. And when we're losing our joy, when we're realizing we're falling down that crevasse, it's like, wait, I am lost. I am completely lost. I have no connection to myself, self-love or self-expression or my, if you've lost your joy, okay, you gotta pivot.
The thing is, we have to realize that, you know, our beings, you know, body, mind, and spirit are we are incredible, incredible creations that will tell us when something's wrong. In any of those areas, it's like you get a headache. Well, you get a headache for a reason. You know, you ate something weird. You didn't get enough sleep. You stayed out in the sun too long. You got too much stress in your life. There's a reason.
Or not speaking your truth.
You know, right. You
stuffing
lose
your
joy. You get depressed. You get anxiety.
Yes.
You get all these things because something that you're doing every day of your life has brought you to that point. Not something you did just 3 weeks ago once. Not one little stupid thing, but something you're doing all the time.
Right.
Has brought
your
you
patterns,
to that
your
place,
habits.
That state, right, the state of mind. It's not, and the lack of joy in your life is the result of a series of decisions and choices that we have made and brought us to that point. So guess what? If we got to that point, then we can take some steps back, like you said, just, you know, breathe, take a look at, well, how have I been living? You know, what do I do all the time? How do I act? What do I believe? What am I saying? What am I thinking? So
what am I feeling? What am I repressing? What am I suppressing? What am I not saying?
That means we can change it, though. That means we can change that pattern.
Right.
Just like we can make a pattern on a piece of paper with some different colors, and then we can take another color and add to it, or we can take an eraser and erase part of it, or we can scribble it all out and crumble it up and throw it away and start all over. Guess what?
Mm.
We can do that.
So let's suggest to the listeners that they sort of look at their life and like make like a pie chart and look at different areas of your life, you know, whether it's family, your relationship with your body, your relationship with your friends, your relationship with your money. It just sort of like makes some categories. You know, how do you feel expressed in these areas? Is there joy in these areas? Are you feeling
fulfillment.
Fully expressed? Yeah, so just sort of examine.
You have to know where you are so you know, how far you are from where you want to be.
Live a life where you're of service but not of sacrifice. So it's interesting, and I think it's fantastic that we're talking about this, Kelly. And, you know, you can still be a empowered badass in many areas of your life and still fall into the pit here.
Absolutely.
And have to pull
we are who we are. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like the most badass and effective and cool and just helpful, wonderful, serving people are the ones who are vulnerable like that, are the ones who do make mistakes and make messes and fall into that pit. You know, the key is that, you know, we get back up, you know, we try again. And, you know, one of the things we were talking about earlier, or a point that you brought up, was about how one of the reasons why we stay in the cult of self-sacrifice is because we feel guilty, or we fear shame, being shamed for leaving the cult, which, you know, we're in this cult of self-sacrifice, and we don't even realize what's really happening to us while we're in it. But when we finally do realize, hey, there might be something better out there, maybe I am in a trap, maybe I'm not living the life that I should or want to, then it hits us. Whoa, I couldn't possibly leave my husband. I couldn't possibly say no to my children. I couldn't possibly quit that job. You see what I'm saying? It's like,
well,
because you fear the shame and the guilt that would happen if you took that.
Right,
you
would be
decision,
thrown at you,
so.
of course, of leaving the cult. The other thing is that we can hide in this self-sacrifice, and because we don't want to take full responsibility for our lives, we don't want to face, well, who am I if I'm not just giving? You know, where's my identity? Or like, if I'm not just sacrificing myself, what do I do? You know, I don't even know what career I want. And we could be so lost, you know. So there's a lot of hiding that goes on because, you know, and that works for the needs of other people that are around us. But I can tell you, in working with women for over two decades, that one of the most painful things that women talk about is leaving like a legacy of self-abandonment and showing their children how to do it. Like, you just teach your daughters how to just empty yourself out completely and be a, you know, a empty vessel for the conduit of happiness of others. And we're here to say there's something outside of that, right?
Right. And the fear that comes into play when having to face yourself or focus on yourself is so
absolutely
great in so many women. I mean, I think that many women would rather have a raging, angry tiger in their face more than they would want to face their flaws. You know, we'll say it. Let's just put it out there. It's not the good parts of us and the effective and the excellent parts of us that we're afraid of so much as the, you know, we're afraid of our flaws many times and that we aren't going to be perfect at being, you know, who we are, I guess, or, you know, that in our self-expression is may not be perfect. So a lot, that could be something that holds some people back. And
the other thing
I'm just
going to say that there's another layer. I'm just going to add another layer to this cake, mm-hmm. Kelly, because you know this is what we
love
do.
It.
We add another layer, okay?
Yes.
So what is really, really behind this, okay? So what is the real core good girl cult that we're in, which is that we are actually, the other layer is that we've learned to give our power away,
mm-hmm.
And play small and just be what other people want us to be. And so to break out of that is really like crossing into the what I call dealing with the feminine power shadow, which I'm talking about in another podcast, which really recommend you listen to, the feminine power shadow, because women give their power away, right? So because it's safer to do that. And so we're talking about, hey, if I'm really coming out and I'm going to really shine my light, I've got to cross through, jump through these hoops of fire of daring to stop giving my power away. And women
right.
are just completely unaware that it is they're, you know, that they're in that area of life where they're challenged to own their power. That's really what's going on. And so many women have buried their power so deeply that they don't really realize that that's really the invisible veil that's over them.
Right.
As a good
you were giving that visual of jumping through hoops of fire. It's like when you make changes to your life in this capacity where you really, really want to make change and you really come to that point where you want to do something different, it's not just jumping through that hoop, you know, that's not the end of the responsibility. You know, jumping through the hoop of fire is the initial decision to actually change. And that can be over very quickly. You can jump through that hoop fairly quickly. But the thing is, when you make that decision, there is a path to walk after that. You know, there's responsibility. And you may have been burned when you jump through that hoop of fire. You know, just continue in that visual. So you
right.
may have
right.
sustained some injuries.
Right, as you said, some shame or right judgment
right.
or shame and judgment. Yeah, women step
right.
outside
or
of the girl box.
How other people treat
yeah.
you.
Exactly.
How other people are treating you suddenly.
Because you've changed the dynamic in all your relationships if you're now
right.
going to claim your full life, not just the giver and the nurturer. If you're claiming your full life, you may be judged or shamed. So...
Mm-hmm. And those people are going to buck and kick and try to do everything they can
yes.
to get you back in the place that they loved having you.
Right.
Because remember, you are sacrificing yourself for them, for the happiness and the joy and the love of other people. So they may feel
you have
like
a right
losing
to
something.
You have a right to say, this works for me, this doesn't work for me. I talk about that a
That's
lot.
That's right.
In my books, this you can say, this doesn't work for me. To be a full, complete
mm-hmm.
human being, you have a right to say, this doesn't work for me, and this is my boundary. And as going from good girl to goddess, you are learning to have boundaries and to say, this doesn't work for me. So I hope that we've given the listeners a lot to think about. I know that this is an ongoing practice for all of us, is to learn you know, how to find
right.
that empowered, sovereign queen within us that can balance out that good girl. Kelly, you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Well, just, you know, on this topic, just, you know, just know that you know, you have nothing to prove to anybody. You know, you are already enough, and in who you are enough. You're valuable, you matter, and there's nothing that you can do for other people that will make those things any more true. And when we finally realize that we don't need to do anything, there's always ways that we can reinvent ourselves at whatever level and stage we are, wherever we are in our life. It doesn't matter. Forget the past. You know, forget what we've done. You know, that's the thing. It's like all of this is based on our past. It's like we want to keep doing the same things we've always done because it makes us feel a certain way or it's safe. So now, if you come to the place where you want to change, yeah, you're going to be afraid. But guess what? You don't have to deny yourself just because you're afraid. You know, you walk up to the ring of fire. You close your eyes if you have to. You do whatever you have to do. You bite your lip and you jump through the damn hoop. You make the choice. But you have to come to that place first. You have to be able to see that things are not going well. It's something that you can do, but it's something you have to be ready to do. And it's a choice that you have to make yourself.
And it's worth doing, for sure.
Absolutely.
Your word. That.
Yes.
Well, we'll say goodbye for now.
Yes.
And we're just getting started, y'all. So get ready.
Absolutely.
To go from good girl to goddess. We'll see
Bye.
You next time.
You've been listening to Good Girl to Goddess, the podcast that helps you get over your good girl and get on with your life. If you want more of this and to join the community, head on over to my website, joybalma.com, and subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a single episode.